Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we're not going to give reading to this whole passage, but I want you to have it in front of you. The passage contains three key words. They should be sort of blinking at you from the page. The key word for the husband is love. The key word for the wife is submission. The key word for children is obey. The husband is to love his wife. The wife is to be submissive to her husband. Children are to obey their parents. For the last several Lord's days now, we've been dealing with the reformation of the family, dealing with marriage, husband, wife, responsibilities that go with marriage. We've talked about the duties of the husband. He is to provide. Provide for his wife's material, physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And if the Lord should bless them with children, as a father, he has responsibilities to provide the needs of his children. Not to provoke his children to anger. He is to bring his children up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. Now, what about the wife? Look at Ephesians 5:22. That's why I have you open to that passage. Ephesians 5:22. Three little words. Wives, be subject. Subject. Submissive. To who? To who? To whom? Your own husband. But it's not a period there. There's a few more words. As to the Lord. In other words, your submission to your husband comes in recognition to your submission that's required of the Lord. It's part and parcel. It's included in the package. In other words, being submissive to your Lord, as we see in His own word, means being submissive to your husband. It goes together. And it is spiritual in nature, since it's to be like your submission to your Savior, to your Lord. We talked last week about the fact that all of this takes place in the format, in the context of mutual submission. We are instructed to be submissive one to another in terms of carrying out our Christian duty and Christian responsibilities to each other. Now, mutual submission. That context of mutual submission means that the time will come when the husband will, in a sense, be submissive to his wife. I want to say that very carefully, because what I'm saying simply is this, The husband should never always turn his wife off as if her suggestions, her input, her knowledge, her experience is not worthy. There may be times when she has a really, really good idea. And you ought to recognize it and accept it and thank the Lord for it and go along with it and say, Lord, I want to thank you for giving me a wise wife. That doesn't mean you're abdicating your power and leadership to her. It means that you've got enough sense to realize here's somebody that knows what she's talking about. And it would be wise if I accept that and go along with it. Not to take the position of, hey, wait a minute, I'm the head of the house here, and be too proud to humble yourself to acknowledge God may very well be using your wife in a very unique, special way. Because you see, women have a certain wisdom that's peculiar to being a woman. God made them that way. Women have unique insight to some things that men are totally oblivious to. But you see, when you put the two together with God's blessing and this recognition of those things and gifts of God that He's given, there's blessing. There's harmony. There's union as God intended it to be. Now, we've already commented this morning that the nature of the submission is of spiritual nature. And we traced that last week back to Adam and Eve and showed the reason for that. Then, secondly, last week we showed that this obedience grows out of and is actually determined by the order of creation. How did God create? Well, God created man first and then created woman to be a help to man. It was God's opinion, man, it's not good for man to be alone. And I'm going to make a helpmeet suitable for him. Peter tells us, instructing the husbands, husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as she is a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Interesting wording. There's an end there. The husband is told, grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers be not hindered. There are things that hinder prayer. Peter tells us that one of those things is the fact that there are husbands out there who don't have a clue, so to speak, of how to live with their wife according to knowledge. And the point is that you need to learn how your wife is as a woman and as a wife. And be sensitive to that in many, many ways. And because Peter tells us, if you don't do that, if you're just ignorant of that and willfully ignorant of it, your prayers are going to be hindered. That's God's doings. Take it seriously. We don't need things hindering our prayers. And that will, in the context of your marriage. enough in the relationship you should have and enjoy with your wife. Now the third main heading, this is new material for us this morning. The extent of the submission. Look at Ephesians 5:24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands. Two little words. In everything. Dear ones, you can argue up one side and down the other. Doesn't make any difference because God has written it. It is in everything. That's it. Period. Now, when we are talking about this, I want to clarify this point. While it is all inclusive, it does not mean that the authority of the husband is unlimited. You need to get that in your mind. Let me repeat it. While the submission is all-inclusive, that does not mean that the authority of the husband is unlimited. Say, Pastor, can you help us with that? Can you explain that? Illustrate it? I hope so. I'll try. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than man." And that's etched in stone. That's a non-negotiable. Why? Because God's authority is always supreme and superior. So a husband, even though he has this authority that's God-given, it is not an authority that can go over and above God's authority. In other words, what God has commanded comes for the highest priority in our life. So if God's word has instructed you as a Christian cannot do this, the husband has no authority, right, or power to say, "Oh, yes, you will. You will do this." If it's contrary to God's supreme authority. That's truth from God's word. Now, we've been talking about submission. But there's another duty. Look at Ephesians 5:33. "Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself. And let the wife see to it that she respects her husband." What does this have to do with? It has to do with the attitude with which she submits to her husband. When you're raising children, and I've used this illustration more than once, when you instruct a child to do household chores, take out the garbage, Sonny. She expect that child to show an attitude of unwillingness by shrugging their shoulders. Even though they carry out the trust, well, if I have to, attitude. Is that acceptable to you? What you really want of that child is for that child very graciously to say, yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. And do it willingly and gladly. That's the kind of obedience that you want. Well, what the scriptures are telling us here is that this submission is not to be done begrudgingly. With this attitude of, well, if I have to, type feeling. It's to be with a willingness and a graciousness. No submission on the part of the wife to her husband with a wrong attitude and wrong spirit is biblical submission. And I want to go a step further, and I want you to listen. It's not submission, it's rebellion. And the same thing you have in that child. If that child shows a displeasure and a being put out, and you know, it's not obedience. Oh yes, the trash got carried out. But it wasn't obedience. It was disobedience. It was rebellion. And the same can be said of the submission that God expects from the wife. The original Greek wording of the passage that we're dealing with could actually read like this. Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him. That's quite a list. Now, women, I don't know if you're aware of it. Let me share something with you. Men are so constituted that they respond positively to being noticed and to being praised. Did you get that? And you men that are sitting here, you know it's true. Let me repeat it. Men are so constituted in their nature as men that they actually respond inwardly, maybe outwardly, positively to being noticed and praised. Now, with that in mind, listen carefully to this. One of the problems that exists in the marriage is that women marry with a very high expectation of their husband. He can do no wrong. He's my hero. Then what happens? He lets you down in this way. He has a habit of piling his dirty clothes in the corner, not putting, and that kind of bothers you. Then something else happens. And what's happening? Little by little, little by little. That high ideal expectation that you had is coming down. At first you wouldn't admit it. You might never admit it openly. But inwardly, you're kind of disappointed. And then something happens. The neighbor's washing machine breaks. And your husband is able to fix it. And what happens? The neighbor's wife said, "Oh, you're so wonderful. You were able to fix my washing machine. Man, you really did a good job." And what is she doing? She's praising him for doing such a great job. And he comes home. And the wife shows the attitude of, "You didn't do this and you didn't do that." And do you get the picture? That's a mistake. You should be looking for reasons to be able to brag on and to compliment and to praise your husband. It's part of submission. It goes with it. Being a grateful wife. You should speak well of your husband publicly. Find opportunities once in a while in the company of friends, neighbors, your brother in church, whatever. It doesn't have to be every other breath, but it should be there on occasion. Maybe a comment. "Boy, my husband really did a good job doing this. My husband the other day was so thoughtful. He went by and picked up some groceries and brought me a bouquet of my favorite flowers." You're acknowledging that publicly. Now, it doesn't have to be overdone, syrupy, sickening type. On and on and on and on. No. Very carefully placed words of recognition and confidence of the high esteem you have for your husband. It'll go a long way in strengthening and blending that relationship that you have as husband and wife. And I was not the one that thought up that little phrase that says, "God made men like that." It came elsewhere. But it's true. It's very, very important. Look at Proverbs 11:26. I'm sorry. Proverbs 31:26. Proverbs 31:26. My apologies. "On her tongue is the law of kindness." Kindness. Be kind to one another. And that's part of your gracious biblical submissiveness. Coupled with this is a quiet and meek spirit. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Other instruction to the wife, having to do with subjection. By the way, that was our consecutive reading. It's amazing how sometimes that happens, but providentially. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it be that outward adorning, not that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of the gold, of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Well, that falls under the category of the duty to esteem your wife and your husband. The respect, the honor that you're able to give to them in ways that are not necessarily so obvious, but are nonetheless very real. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Now notice verse 4. That they may encourage the young women. You who are older women have a responsibility to have the right influence upon younger women. Now, what is it you're supposed to encourage the younger women to do? Love their husbands. And love their children. Wait a minute. I thought it's the husband that's supposed to love the wife. Oh, it is. But it's also the duty of the wife to love her husband. And you see, for the husband to love the wife means that he's got to make some certain sacrifices in his life. The way he used to be and the things he used to do are going to have to change, probably, in being able to be the leader, the husband, the godly man that God expects him to be in the husband and marriage relationship. But the same thing is true of the wife. Changes are going to have to be made in her lifestyle in many ways, or what she's been used to as a single woman, Things are different. Now it comes down to the fact that in those changes, those adaptations that are biblical, is for the good of the marriage. It's to solidify the marriage. It's to bring you together in a bond of matrimony not found in any other relationship in the whole world as it is in marriage. Now, the wife is to love her husband so much that she's willing to follow the instructions of God's Word that we have been laying out this morning in order to be the wife that God expects her to be. And maybe she's gregarious. Maybe she's a very talkative, outgoing, friendly person. Good, maybe not so good. Because that could lead to the woman being dominating in the conversation. So much so that the husband finally decides, forget it, I'm not going to try to say anything. You're messing everything up in terms of the way God expects that order to be in the home, but it plays out when you're with other people and in other different situations. You're not talking like a broke record. Learn to be gracious. Yes, enter into the conversation. Don't dominate it. Love your husband. How much do I love him? To be the woman that God expects you to be. In your demeanor, in your character, at home, in front of the children, in society, out with other people. Love your children. Love your children? You mean young women have to be encouraged and even taught how to love their children? Yes. Yes. In many cases, yes. I thought mothers would love their children. Not always. Not always. A mother who will not discipline her children properly and consistently doesn't love her children. She loves herself more than the child because she's inconvenienced by having to put out the time, the effort, etc., etc., all that involves, to properly, consistently discipline that child so that no means no. And if a mother doesn't do that, I'm going to be very, very bold this morning, and I'm going to say, you hate your child. That's being very bold. But it comes very close to that. Because you're letting them grow up and develop a lifestyle of misbehavior and undisciplined life that will cost them the entirety of their life. Even if they become Christians, they can be very undisciplined in many areas of their life. Always having to pay the price. penitentiary is full of them. Men and women. A lady came into my bookstore. I think I used this one time. She had a little girl about this tall. Came into the bookstore. The little girl immediately went over to the display where we have greeting cards. And by the handfuls, the little girl began to take the greeting cards, pick them up, and throw them into the floor. And what did the mother do? Now, sweetie, don't do that. That's not nice. And she kept doing it. And the mother was trying to pick them up and put them back as fast as she was throwing them out. And I said to myself, lady, you're raising a monster. And she'll break your heart one of these days. And that woman was doing that daughter one of the biggest and greatest disfavor she could ever possibly do to that little girl. And I'm saying that proper biblical consistent discipline grows out of love for your child. You love them so much, you don't want to see them end up in the penitentiary. And when you're not disciplining that child, you're paving the pathway for that to happen. And how it grieves me, you'll never know to the extent, I can't explain it, to hear parents in front of their children say, I can't wait till my child gets old enough to get out of the house. How do you think that makes you feel? By God's grace, dear people, I must tell you, only by God's grace. I never thought that, not even once, with my two kids. They were a delight. They were a joy. Every minute that we had them in our home. I say again, by God's grace. You see, marriage is more than saying, I do. There are God-given duties. God will hold the husband and the wife and the child accountable. So then Romans tells us every one of us will give an account of himself to God. Father, we ask for your blessing upon your word, your truth. Write it upon our hearts indelibly that it may produce in us those things that you want to see day by day in our relationships at home and even in our daily life. May we honor Christ. In his name we pray.